The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Time for us to turn our attention to football and the news yesterday that Frank Lampard had been sacked and replaced immediately by Thomas Tuchel. I'm delighted to say Philippe Auclair is with us this morning to help parse this and explain a little bit about what we might expect from Thomas Tuchel. Philippe, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning to you too. I'm not too bad, thank you very much.
Thomas Tuchel was not out of work for a very long time. PSG sacked him just before New Year's Eve, and here we are barely a month later and already he's got a job. What is it about Tuchel that makes him so appealing for these super clubs?
I think his personality, even though it can sometimes rub these clubs the wrong way. I think his tactical acumen, obviously. And I think despite the way things finished at, in particular, Borussia Dortmund and PSG, his track record, which is excellent in many ways, which is as in capable of dealing with big temperaments, big players, also capable of bringing young players through, and also proposing, when things work, a football of great quality. So, yes, I mean, he's got a very big reputation within the game. He's had it ever since he started his career at Mainz. And to be honest, he's done nothing to disprove those who've believed in him since then, even though, again, things tend to finish in a bit of an awkward way, I would say, in most places where he goes, at a still very young age.
It's worth teasing that out a little bit. What happened in Paris? Because people are like, hang on a second, that's the same Paris Saint-Germain team that were just in their first Champions League final like a couple of months ago at this stage.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, what happened is that, first of all, PSG is a very strange club and very difficult team to control. Let's say that the players have got a record, a disciplinary record, but not in terms of cars, rather in terms of the way they behave themselves off the pitch, which is not perhaps the most conducive to high performance. I've tried to be very careful here. And that it's always been thus, and maybe it can only be thus when you've got people like, Dani Alves and Neymar and Verratti and Rabiot and others of that kind. So it's always a bit difficult to be the boss, really, in this team, as many others have found out. And one of the reasons for that is that the hierarchy in Paris tends to be quite lenient, shall we say, with the players and not necessarily side with the coach. The players are more important than the coach and always have been in Paris, certainly since the QSI, the Qataris, have moved in. So that was that. The second thing is that Tuchel is somebody who, when he has something to say, says it and he says it loud. And for example, when there were disagreements between him and his bosses, in particular Leonardo, the sports director, he didn't hesitate to go on the record complaining about recruitment. Now, it's not something that you will hear, for example, many managers do in England. And I say complaining about recruitment, doing it on television, in press conferences, saying basically, no, we're not getting the players we should be getting. And when you have got two such strong personalities as Leonardo and Tuchel face-to-face, one's got to give, and in this particular case, it could only be Tuchel. But he's been like this. He's been somebody who doesn't shy away from confrontation. It was the same thing at Borussia Dortmund, maybe not at Mainz, but Borussia Dortmund and PSG. Things have followed a pattern. So when he has something to say, he does say it, and he stands his ground. And that's why it finished, despite the fact that he'd just taken them to their first European Champions League final, which is quite extraordinary, really, when you think of it.
Yeah, it is. What's also extraordinary is, though, that you take the Paris Saint-Germain job, you know the structure that the club has and you know their track record. So was he unwilling to change? Did he kind of have an internal clock that had ticked and reached a point where he thought the right thing to do? Was there self-sabotage involved in attacking Leonardo, or did he think he could potentially win that?
I think he felt that he couldn't do his job properly if he were not allowed to go for the players he needed. He had been given a mission at PSG, which was to make them successful in Europe. Because in France, my goodness, they've won another, I think, three trebles in 4 years. So he did the job as far as this was concerned. The domestic side was concerned. Though everything was geared towards success in Europe. And to succeed in Europe, he basically said, well, our squad is missing out in these compartments, in these departments. You've got to support me. And if you don't do it, well, I'm going to say something about it. So I think, no, it's more a question of somebody who is very clear in what he wants and how he wants it. There were other moments in his Paris career where Well, actually, things went relatively smoothly, and they managed to actually put some order back in the squad. And as we're seeing, Mauricio Pochettino is not, you know, finding it too easy. A coach who has gotten absolutely huge reputation worldwide will go. Will find that he's got exactly the same problems as Tuchel had, and Unai Emery had, and Carlo Ancelotti had, and Antoine Comboire had, and you can carry on, and Laurent Blanc had it. Every single manager of PSG has had it. So yes, it's a question of his temperament. He's somebody who stands his ground, somebody who says things as they are, and will not belch. He's not going to swallow something that he doesn't want to swallow. He's going to spit it out.
In your estimation, is that the right type of outspoken character that will work at Chelsea?
It can work. It's worked for a few others. It's worked for Jose Mourinho. It's worked for Antonio Conte. You could say that the characters who perhaps do not stand their ground as much as people like Tuchel do have not necessarily been very successful at Chelsea. Andre Villas-Boas, for example. Roberto Di Matteo. Even Luis Felipe Scolari. You know, it might be that at Chelsea, you know that you're in the ejector seat from the second you accept a job. It's the way the club functions. It's driven. It's results driven. It's a model that people find completely crazy, but which works. You just add the number of trophies and major trophies won by Chelsea since Roman Abramovich introduced this kind of method or methodology, and you will find out that they are the most successful English club of that time. So it works, and Tuchel is fully aware of what is going to happen to him in terms of the relationship with the board and how far he can go, how much he can go too far, so to speak.
Philippe, a lot of the reports in the last day or so were saying that the players weren't particularly impressed with how few tactical instructions Frank Lampard was giving. Mm. The general impression we are getting is that Thomas Tuchel, he's heavy on his tactics. He has a philosophy. What does a Thomas Tuchel team look like on the pitch?
Very good question, because it has evolved through the years. He has used three-man defences, four-man defences, five-man defences. He's used with at Paris. He's been quite bold because he had to accommodate all his star players. So you. At times, he was playing a kind of 4-2-4. He's played a 4-3-3. He's played a 4-2-3-1. He's been very pragmatic in his approach in terms of the type of formation that he wanted his team to adopt. But obviously, tactics is not just about formation. Tactics is also about intensity. It's also about pressing and so forth. And in this case, you can expect exactly what you would expect from somebody who is basically of the new German school. Somebody who's succeeded Jurgen Klopp at Borussia Dortmund, and somebody who also transformed a struggling Mainz team into a team that actually had a measure of success, a comparable success, by using a very energetic, very high high intensity, high energy football. Also somebody who spends a great deal of time studying the opposition and trying to counter it as much as possible. I know this sounds like a completely basic things to do for any manager, but the degree of detail into which you go is what makes the difference. And Tuchel does that. And he also is capable of passing on the message to his team. And to manage to do that with Paris Saint-Germain, which has never been the most disciplined team, tactically speaking, it's quite something, really.
Did he get the credit he fully deserved at PSG? There was probably an impression on this side of the world that he was just walking out every day and rolling out the footballs to one of the most talented rosters in the world.
Yeah, but also one of the most unbalanced rosters in the world. As in, PSG going forward, at least on paper, because a number of their star players have had, I would say, difficult seasons, like Kylian Mbappe, for example, very, very strong. In midfield, two, three very good players. In defence, maybe not so, particularly on the flanks, where they didn't quite have the personnel, which was at the same level. And also, when you talk about the depth of the squad, again, going forward, very deep squad, midfield and defence, far less so. I don't think he got the credit he deserved. I think perhaps because of his personality, he can be quite cutting. Perhaps because, as well, everybody takes success for granted at PSG, and it goes with the job. Whatever you do, you're going to be underestimated. I think this was the case of Carlo Ancelotti. I think it was the case of Laurent Blanc and Gasset, his assistant coach. And it goes with the job because you're expected to win everything, which is quite normal when you see the amount of money that is spent on players and on keeping them at the club. But yes, I would say his contribution has been undervalued. Perhaps won't stay undervalued with time. I think people might be a little bit more or better disposed towards what you would call his legacy. He was, you know, one goal away from, well, two goals away from winning European title with PSG.
Philippe, what will Frank Lampard's legacy at Chelsea be?
I've got to be careful what I say here because it's not really Lampard, the manager per se, but I would say the failure of a certain type of model. I genuinely think that Chelsea, when they decided to go to Frank Lampard, had in mind a new strategy. I genuinely feel that they knew that because of the transfer ban and so forth, they needed to bring in those young players. And also what at the time was supposed the modifications to the loan system. You remember Chelsea had all these wonderful youngsters who were scattered all throughout Europe. So they thought, well, we might as well do something with those. And in a way, when he started, it kind of worked, even if it was quite exciting to watch. But I think then when Chelsea reverted to type this last summer, i.e. when they decided to use the money that they made from the sale of Eden Hazard and the fact that the finances of the club were actually quite healthy at the time, regardless of the pandemic, and decided to spend close to 200 million euros of net, 250 gross, 200 million net, which is unheard of, I think that it changed. And I find it very difficult to reconcile the Lampard of the first season with the Lampard of the second one. And I'm not too sure that's the question that I'm asking myself. How much was he involved in this change of strategy? How much was he involved in the idea that the club had to move away from the point of view he had adopted only 12 months beforehand and forget about the Tomori and the Gilmores and the Hudson-Odoi's and then bring in all this wonderful talent, which Thomas Tuchel probably, I think, will find easier to explore and to exploit than his predecessor. So we talk about Lampard's legacy. It's not that impressive, really. I mean, points per game, everybody's seen those numbers. I think 1.67. That's pretty poor for a team like Chelsea. Didn't win a single title, in which, you know, he's one of the exceptions in Chelsea's recent history. And people who say he was sacked very early on, well, not really. He lasted 18 months, which in Chelsea terms is, you know, a decent lease or an average one. But I do think that there was a change of model at some point and that it was never really, or it was not clear what exactly they were trying to achieve and that he probably was not the right person at the right time for this type of approach. Whereas perhaps a year earlier, he had been. I know this sounds very contradictory, but you've got to remember, we're talking about Chelsea here, yeah, which is a club which is fundamentally contrary and contrarian in the way he does its business, is totally dysfunctional, seen from the outside, but has made this dysfunctionality one of the tenets of the way it approaches the way to manage a football club. And I think, in a way, Tuchel won't be surprised by that. He's coming from a crazy place, which is just as crazy, if not crazier, than Chelsea in a different way. But here, you know, and he's going to find all these young players, some of whom he knows very well, like Christian Pulisic, obviously. Everybody knows that. He's going to have also allies already in the camp. I would imagine Rudiger would be one. Thiago Silva, despite all the reports you've read over the last couple of days last 24 hours, which are completely rubbish. He gets on extremely well with Thiago Silva and rates him incredibly highly and will use him as his genuine on-field captain. So he's not arriving in terra incognita here, Thomas Tuchel, which is why I think when you compare two, you're comparing things which are not comparable, really.
You think Tuchel's going to be successful, it sounds like.
Yes. I'm convinced of it. I think that the fact that the titles he won with Paris were won with Paris, Saint-Germain, make people think, well, anybody could do it. You could do it. I could do it. No, it doesn't work like that. The way in which he achieved what he achieved, despite the problems he encountered, and heaven knows there were quite a few problems along the way, mean that the reputation he's gained in the European and world game is not a reputation he's won by chance. He's not one of those young hipster managers who is the flavor of the month and then disappears. Not at all. He's somebody who has actually built a reputation from the very beginning of his career, when he was actually taking care of the reserves in Bundesliga. And also, I think he at one point also worked in Bundesliga too. So he's always had this reputation, this going with him. And I do think he's been underrated. I think his character plays a big role for that, as well as the fact when you know, if you're not Borussia Dortmund and PSG, you're expected to win. And it's more the manner of the way in which he parted ways with both clubs, which perhaps has had a negative impact on his image and his reputation, because for the rest, I don't think, you know, there's much that you can reproach him.
Philippe, one last question for me. There was this sense that Frank Lampard was beloved of a large section of the English football writers, and that he was given a lot of support. He was shortlisted for Manager of the Year last year. All that kind of stuff that, you know, other managers maybe would have got if they were also English. Coming into Chelsea, is Tuchel going to have any difficulty following a club legend here? I mean, he obviously followed a club legend at Dortmund, so he has some experience of it. This is slightly different.
Yes.
And he'll have to deal with, as soon as there's a mistake or anything misspoken, it'll be pounced on by a coterie of writers and on the internet from that core English group who want to defend their Frank.
I don't think he will care one jot about it. His communication skills are good, by the way. His English is terrific, excellent, as is his French. So he's somebody who's going to be able, first of all, importantly, he's going to be able to communicate with all of his squad in their native language, which is a big advantage. You'll find him actually quite refreshing in the way that they will find him quite refreshing in the way he talks about the game. And I also think that the Chelsea fans themselves, judging by the reactions I've seen and talking to a few people, they might see what their club has done with some acrimony, but Tuchel is not responsible for that, and they'll be behind him in no time. Remember, if you've got, and I'm talking about the fans here, but the fans do matter in this, you know, in the way that the manager is also perceived and portrayed in the media. You know, in the end, they even liked Rafa Benitez. So if Rafa Benitez left with his head held high, I'm sure that Thomas Tuchel won't have too many problems on that side, provided he wins, of course. But that's Chelsea. That's part of that particular game. And as to the media, I think you're talking about a certain segment of the media, which is not necessarily the most influential nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's true that he has, you know, because of his family connections as well, and because perhaps you will hear a few things maybe on television, because a number of people who are now commentating, analyzing, punditing are people who know him extremely well and appreciate him. Not in all cases, but most of them do appreciate him. So, yes, I mean, he will always benefit from the kind of plus sign that goes with being English. And I say English, not British, because it's funny. I was thinking to myself about Brendan Rodgers, who is quite clearly the best British manager of his generation. I don't think anybody should have any doubt about that. And the way that he's always had a rough ride in the media. And Frank Lampard hasn't had. Some people are good at managing those, you know, this relationship, managing the contacts they've got. Others are not so good and don't pay too much attention to it. I think Tuchel is somebody who is keen to communicate, is a good communicator, and whom people will find very quickly is not the kind of manager that you can disrespect or talk, you know. Disrespect simply because you quite liked his predecessor and you don't like the way that his predecessor was dealt with. It's not going to happen that way. I think it might have been true like 15 years ago, still, not any longer.
I think if Brendan Rodgers wins anything, he's going to be British. But as soon as he starts losing, he's going to find out that he's Irish, just like everybody
else.
Well,
he's the Andy Murray of British football management, yes.
That's how that works.
Correct.
Philippe, au revoir, merci beaucoup.
De rien, à bientôt.
Philippe Auclair giving us some great insight there on Thomas Tuchel. Are you excited about this, Neil? I have to say, I'm definitely going to be watching a bit more Chelsea over the next while.
Yeah, I'm certainly warming to him. A bit more than I probably had been yesterday morning. Philippe sold him very well, certainly did. Particularly the fact that I was curious, actually, the fact that I was going to ask about Thiago Silva, and he mentioned towards the end that, you know, that was blown completely out of proportion. I think Thiago Silva had said it was predictable that Tuchel would have left PSG. Maybe it was taken out of context or something. But one thing I can never understand as well is the languages that the managers know. Like, you know, he's saying he's fluent in English, French, and obviously his native language of German as well. But like the sheer work that has to go into all of that.
Well, you do it as a kid and then you keep going. Like, you know, there's good TV. What's the Rosetta Stone you can stick in your earphones when you're, you know, when you're out walking the dog? These rich people always have lots of dogs, don't they?
Yeah, they do. The one last point as well is that he was, you know, he mentioned towards the end the perception that, you know, you or me could manage PSG and win the French title.
I could.
Never mind your Amazon Prime All or Nothing. They are the documentaries I want to see. One of those big super clubs deciding that, you know what, we're going to pull in some randomer off the street. He is going to manage our club for a year. Fly on the wall documentary.
I mean, you know, stranger things have happened in world football. It might happen in the Qatar League or something like that. It is 8:40 this morning. If you want to get involved, we'd love to hear from you. 0879-180-180 is the number. Chelsea are and always will be Abramovich's plaything. He's like a spoiled child. He expects instant gratification. The players in PSG are bigger than the club, which is why they get away with poor behaviour, says T on YouTube. I mean, you can give Abramovich whatever you want when you're saying that like he's a spoiled child and expecting instant gratification. As Philippe said, he's won more trophies since he arrived in English football than any of the other clubs, and so therefore you can't say it hasn't been successful. He was he built a team with his money. They built a team that took on Alex Ferguson's Manchester United and was winning titles up until 3 or 4 years ago as well. They also won a Champions League in that time, which would make them the most successful English team of that generation. Man City haven't won a Champions League. Liverpool have just started to win titles and trophies since Abramovich has been there. So, right.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.